This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, it's the top of the hour, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. A lot happening in your world today, including the shooting in Virginia of Majority Whip Stephen Scalise, who was shot in the hip and bleeding and taken to the hospital. Other aides were shot as well. There was an earlier report that another congressman. But at this point right now, it is confirmed that it was Majority Whip Scalise was the one that took the bullet in the hip. And thank God for the Capitol Police being there to put an end to this situation and taking the gunman out, who is being reported as targeting Republicans. In fact, moments before the shooting, Ron DeSantis ran into the gentleman. I don't know if, in fact, it's being confirmed that he was the shooter, but he asked if it was Republicans or Democrats out there playing in the ball field. He said shortly after that he started hearing bullets ringing out. Also, Otto Warmbier, the student, the U.S. student, has returned to America. He is still in a coma. We're waiting for an update on his physical condition right now, and I know we're all praying for his speedy recovery. I'm glad that he's back here in America, but what this kid has endured, only he knows. But certainly it is clear that it was extreme. So they're reporting that he's been in a coma for quite a while. So, like I say, we can only hope and pray that he comes out of this and medical services here in America were able to restore him back to good health. Newt Gingrich the other night had this to say about the Mueller probe, and he warns that it is not necessarily a neutral investigation. Listen to what he said.
You think the president is considering firing Robert Mueller?
No.
Why don't you think that? Why don't you think that?
Well, because I think the president actually is pretty confident that ultimately this is all going to come out in the wash, and ultimately he's still going to be president, and this stuff's all going to go away. But I think the president, I know because he and I have talked about it a little bit.
When was the last time you talked to him?
Last night.
Wait a minute. Last night?
Yeah.
About?
He called me because I've been very clear about the fact that Mueller hiring four Democrats. His first four attorneys are all Democrats. One of them worked for the Clinton Foundation. He apparently couldn't find a single pro-Trump attorney to hire. And I just think that that's a rigged game. And I think that it's a mistake to pretend that this is going to be some neutral investigation.
Newt Gingrich, on what we've been talking about, the field has been put out of balance here with this setup by Robert Mueller. And so what kind of investigation are we going to get when it starts out from a seemingly, you would think, not an apolitical position? There's politics all over this. And this is not to say, James Hurston has said earlier and John Legato that you're talking about a relationship between Mueller and Comey. I mean, Comey is Mueller's, mentee. They've been good friends for a long time here. So how is he going to observe this in a neutral fashion? I think we're asking Mueller to do something that is near impossible. And I think it's quite ironic that you got a guy like Jeff Sessions who says, look, the rule says that we should avoid even the appearance of evil or any kind of prejudice, so he recuses himself. And then what are the Democrats and the other talking heads from the liberal side say? Oh, well, he must be guilty. That's why he recused himself. You can't win for losing, and this is part of the problem when you're in pursuit of the truth. If you're going to go after every you know, nook and cranny. Now, if you're doing it in the interest of truth, I'm for that. But if you're doing it just for political advantage and political harassment, I'm not for that. That is a waste of time, and that detracts us from the mission on hand, as Chris Fussell would say, in one mission. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, it seems like we're having some technical difficulties here, so I'm going to fly a little bit blind, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. This is Bill Martinez, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Dr. Arkel Giorgio is with us, nationally recognized physician, advocate, advisor, and author between 1995 and 2007. She was a senior executive and chief medical officer of United Healthcare, where she dismantled many of the company's legacy policies in order to minimize the bureaucratic hassles imposed on patients and physicians. Her new book, Healthcare Choices, Five Steps to Getting the Medical Care You Want and Need. Dr. Giorgio, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you here to talk about your book, talk about something that is on the mind of many Americans today, especially those that find themselves in need of health care. And I think this is part of the problem, and I say part of the problem, maybe more of an issue, in how we're addressing health care, because roughly about maybe 10-12% of America at any one time is in the throes of dealing with health care. And it's one of those things that you don't know what you don't know until you find out you don't know it. Can I say it like that?
Well, that lets me really address a very large question, doesn't it?
Yes.
You know, we all are worried about health care, and it is something to worry about. It's important for the country to figure it out. But to some extent, we're focusing as individuals a little bit too much about what's happening in Washington, D.C. and on health insurance reform, and not focusing enough on our own health reform and getting actively involved in the very important healthcare choices and decisions that each of us make that aren't impacted by what happens in Washington, D.C. Because at the end of the day, there are healthcare choices and conversations and decisions that are made either as an individual or between an individual and their doctor, their care provider, that have nothing to do with the legislation. And we need to spend a lot of time thinking about how we make good choices, balanced decisions. And then certainly we have to worry about who's going to pay for it and how it's going to get financed. That's insurance. But first, let's focus on the decisions that we're making. And that's why I wrote this book.
Well, and thank God that you did, because we've been talking about this for quite a while here, Dr. Giorgio, and that is that, self-responsibility comes into play. And the more activated citizenry that we have that are making self-responsible individual choices, it's going to take some pressure off this stuff. I mean, clearly, what has been proven to us, I don't care if it's a Democratic plan or even a Republican plan, I think this is too big for them. This is beyond their capacity to come up with some, federal one-size-fits-all type of program. And I think This is why, this is an active discussion. It's very dynamic. But, if you're sitting there, to your point, if we're sitting there waiting for something to come down on high, from the elites out of the Beltway, good luck.
I completely agree with you, Bill. And at the end of the day, while there are certain aspects of healthcare policy that can be legislated, mm-hmm. so much of health has to do with behavior. And you can't legislate behavior, and you can't legislate our culture around behavior. Mm-hmm. That comes from us as individuals. And, one fact that I found fascinating and really anchors the book is that 62% of Americans say that they want to deliberate with their physician about their treatment options. However, only about 10% do. And the more serious the situation, the more likely an individual is to say, but doctor, what would you do? And they delegate that entire decision-making process about maybe the most important decision in their life, because it might be between life and death, to their doctor. And that is not the right approach. So what I've tried to do is to give people a roadmap for not how to be a doctor themselves. You need, there's certain expertise that you're not going to have as a layperson, but you have expertise in yourself, and how do you work that into the conversation so that you leverage your doctor's expertise, use that to the max, but also bring yourself, your perceptions, your beliefs, your values, and what's important to you to your decision, so that you get the medical care you need, that your doctor tells you you need, but you also get the medical care you want, which is what you only you can decide.
Right, and excellent point in your book, Healthcare Choices, 5 Steps to Getting the Medical Care You Want and Need. Let's take a look at the 5 steps. Step one is,
it's called the CARES model, and CARES stands, each letter stands for a step of the process. So C stands for understand your condition. And, while it may seem obvious that you should understand your medical situation, people often overestimate what they really know. So, for example, an individual, when they looked at individuals needing a bone marrow transplant, a situation where you probably should know what's going on, 77% of people thought they had enough information, but when asked specific questions, only about half really knew the facts. So I recommend that for that C, understand your condition, you really ask, so what, 5 times to really understand the implications of what you're dealing with.
Wow.
The A stands for know your alternatives. And so, people expect their doctors to objectively offer all of their options for their care, but doctors have biases that can lead them to recommend one treatment over another. They usually recommend the treatments they're most familiar with. So I recommend that patients ask, what else? What else? And to also do their research to understand what other options may be available to them.
Well, and this is the thing, you love the information age that we live in today, is that, there's no shortage of information. I mean, all you got to do is Google your condition, and you can be there for hours and really breaking it down and looking at all kinds of alternatives. So we're empowered a lot more than ever, but we need to, we need to take the individual action, right?
Right. Well, there's a universe of information, but what I would like to emphasize is that I don't recommend that people go to Dr. Google. I wouldn't go straight to Google and ask your medical question. You could get directed to not good information sites, non-evidence-based sites. So what I recommend that people do, and what I do myself, for people that I advocate for my family, is I go to a trusted website. And you can pick your favorite one, just making sure that it's evidence-based. I happen to use mayoclinic.org on a regular basis for a very specific reason. One, it's easy to read, but more importantly, it's laid out consistently across all the conditions that they give information about. So once you learn how to use the site, you don't have to learn how to navigate differently for every single condition. So I use mayoclinic.org, I use the NIH, I use the FDA. And so bottom line, don't use Dr. Google, but do use the Internet.
What about WebMD? Is that supported or not?
I think that WebMD is excellent. It has evidence-based information. The reason I didn't mention it as my first stop is because for each condition, they design how they provide information about that condition in a slightly different way. So it's a little harder to navigate. And when you're dealing with a medical condition, you don't want to have to decipher a website. You just want to get to the facts.
No,
certainly a good website if you're comfortable using it.
Okay, we're talking with Dr. Arkel Giorgio, a nationally recognized physician and health journalist. We're breaking down the CARES model. So far, we got C and A, and we've got three more to go. So you want to stay with us for the other side of that as our conversation continues. We're talking about your health care and some great ideas that you need to take note of, okay? So just about 15 minutes right now after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez live. More from Dr. Giorgio right after this.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lodinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're coming at you just the way you like. It's fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I am Bill Martinez, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Conversation with Dr. Raquel Giorgio continues. She's a Johns Hopkins trained physician, healthcare industry expert, who has dedicated her career to improving the safety and quality of care. Dr. Giorgio uses her clinical expertise, detailed knowledge of the healthcare system, data skills, and passion for empowering consumers to simplify information about hospital and physician performance data. And that's what the issue is really, and the focus is all about. Dr. Giorgio is empowering us to put health care in the right perspective. And the right perspective is it starts with us and then our doctor, not a bunch of bureaucrats on the beltway. Dr. Giorgio, I want to pick up our conversation after we were talking about CARES, the CARES model, the five steps here, five choices to getting medical care you want and need. And we covered condition, alternatives, and now we are into RES. And don't say PECT, okay?
I won't, though. I was thinking it. And the R, let's just spend our time on R for a moment, because R stands for respect your preferences. This is the most important step of the CARES model. And people are probably thinking, well, what are your preferences? Preferences are personal. They are not medical. They are the trade-offs that you're willing to make relative to medical risks, complications, disability, pain, sexuality, disfigurement, inconvenience, what you're going to have to pay for a medical condition. All of these weigh in to the right choice for you. And only you can have those preferences, know what they are for you, and your doctor's preferences are not the same as your preferences. So a really important part of this model is that patients really stop and think about what are my choices and then what are my preferences, and based on that, what's the right single decision for me to make. And I recommend that people really just ask themselves what matters most. So that's respect your preferences.
Exactly.
The E is evaluate your options. Patients have to take the time to deliberate the trade-offs of each option. And what is really important is that you avoid putting pressure on yourself to make a decision when you're sitting in front of your doctor. And here's why. This is really interesting. There's neurobiologic research that shows that when you're sitting in front of an expert or a professional, the judgment-making parts of your brain actually shut off. So when you're sitting in front of an expert, you have no judgment. That part of your brain shut down. So at least give yourself time, independent of sitting in front of that expert, to make your own decision, whether it's a few minutes or a few hours or a few days. You should not be sitting in front of an expert when you decide what's right for you.
Something about the power of the white jacket, huh?
And it gives you a lack of judgment.
We take it like as if it's an absolute prescription. You're exactly right. And again, you're raising the level and putting the responsibility in where it needs to be. It really starts and ends with ourselves and stepping up and being aware and taking control of our healthcare choices and what you suggested earlier. And I always tell my kids this, Dr. Giorgio, that experience defines preference. And the good thing, I think, that has come out of the whole Obamacare debacle is that it gave us an idea of what healthcare would look like if it goes single payer. And there's, preferences that are now being established. And now we have a little bit of an opportunity to kind of get control of our healthcare once again, don't you think?
Well, I think that we should always be taking control of our health care, whether we have a market-based system, a single-payer system. What happens in Washington doesn't replace the need for us to take personal responsibility for our care. So even, people in England or other European countries that have single-payer systems, this model, this approach still applies. It's really important.
Good.
So finally, just to finish up the model, the S is for start taking action. So patients not only have the responsibility for the decision-making itself, but also adhering with medications, appointments, tests, procedures. And, a common coping mechanism is, well, I'll take it one day at a time. But that mindset reinforces being passive with respect to your care. What we want to do is make people accountable to their care So I recommend that people ask what next. Make a calendar of what you have to do to follow through on the choice that you've made.
Exactly. Why don't we want to tell a doctor that we're seeing them for a second opinion?
Let me make it really clear that I think that second opinions are critically important if you have any major medical condition, if you're considering surgery, or if you are simply uncomfortable with the diagnosis or the treatment plans that's been laid out in front of you. But what I recommend is not calling it, not saying the words, I'm here for a second opinion. Why? Because second opinion to a doctor is code words for, could you please tell me if my first doctor was right? And so what your doctor's going to end up doing if they hear that is that they reflexively just validate or invalidate what your first doctor told you. They're not starting with a clean slate. So instead, what I recommend is that people say, I'm here for a consultation. And the word consultation in a doctor's mind means, I value your expert opinion. I would like for you to start with a clean slate and give me your best opinion, your best judgment about what's wrong with me and what I should do about it. It changed, those words change the doctor's behavior about how they approach you and your care.
Should we not tell them that we've already seen someone else?
You can absolutely tell them that you've seen someone else. And what's most the reason that that's particularly important is that you don't want tests, blood tests, invasive tests, x-rays to necessarily have to be repeated. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so it's not that you're keeping a secret. It's just that the words make a difference relative to what they believe their responsibility is. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I'll point out is that a second opinion to a doctor implies that if they agree with the first doctor, they're going to lose you as a patient and you're just going to go back to the first doctor.
Right, exactly.
A consultation also suggests that you're making a choice about which doctor's the best fit for you. So they could also retain you as a client or a patient, and that's important to them as well.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Georgia, you're also relevant to preferences, and you mentioned this as part of the book as well. You say listen to your personal preference. I mean, to your inner, I guess your inner senses that say, you know, I just don't want that procedure. There's something that doesn't seem right. And you're saying listen to that still small voice.
Very important, you know, once you know all your options, once you need to know the objective pros and cons of what all your alternatives are, you have got to listen to what's important to you. And what's important falls into four big categories. What are your medical preferences? What is your, how willing are you to risk death or a complication in response to getting a cure or recovery? What about your quality of life? What are you willing to tolerate in terms of level and duration of pain or inconvenience? And then financial. What are you willing to invest out of pocket or at a theoretical standpoint from your insurance to invest in achieving this healthcare outcome? So those are the three categories. I'll give you a wonderful example. I have an 86-year-old mother who had a slight anemia. She had a little bit of GI bleeding and she was starting to get better because that got diagnosed, but her doctor told her she needed to have a colonoscopy. But she really wanted to go to my daughter's wedding and my other daughter's graduation, and she was afraid of a complication. And she said, you know, my preference is to have this done after those big events because I don't want to take the chance of having a complication and missing those events.
Exactly.
And that didn't hurt her health, but it allowed her to respect her preferences and enjoy those events, and then she'll have it done next month.
Thank God for our older mothers. My mom is going to turn 93 next month. Is
Love
that wonderful?
Her.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
Her mother lived to be 102 almost, so we'll see what happens. She's still ornery as ever, so I can always tell when she's doing well. You know, she's a quarter past ornery, then that tells me a lot about her health.
She's probably still telling you what to do.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, because mothers always, they always know best. Well, Dr. Georgia, thank you very much for spending time with us. Your book is available at all the usual places. Yes, Healthcare Choices?
That's right. You can get it on Amazon.com.
And it'll be linked at our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Healthcare Choices, 5 Steps to Getting the Medical Care You Want and Need. Dr. Arkel Georgia on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Arkel. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom.
Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste in specifics. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you 28 minutes before the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us. We're going to go a little bit of fiction, but fun fiction. And there is some application to this story. Trap the Devil, sometimes the greatest threat to national security, comes from within. The author is a New York Times best-selling author of international political and espionage thrillers that include Independence Day and First Strike. And his brand new book is Trap the Devil. Ben Coos is with us. He's a graduate of the Gruten School and Columbia College, where he won the university's highest writing award, the Bennett Cerf Memorial Prize for Fiction, after graduation. Ben applied for entrance into the U.S. Navy SEALs. He got in, but doctors discovered an undiagnosed flaw in his heart, which disqualified him, but prompted him to work in Washington, where he became a White House-appointed speechwriter to the U.S. Secretary of Energy, Admiral James Watt. Ben has been a partner at two private equity firms, which gave him insights to successfully run Mitt Romney's victorious campaign for governor of Massachusetts, by the way. That is Romney's only successful political campaign. So, Ben, it's all your fault. That's all there is to it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, but what a great opportunity, I mean, for you. Here you are thinking you're going to enter in to the Navy SEALs. Like, what was your grandfather a SEAL, right?
My godfather.
Your godfather, okay.
Godfather.
So here he is, and you go into this, and full steam ahead, and doggone it, but for a heart condition. So there's all kinds of things that can eliminate you from being a SEAL. And we had a conversation a couple months back with Rob O'Neill, the celebrated SEAL that you're aware of, and he had told me, he said his class was, the attrition rate is unbelievable. I mean, they're lucky to graduate 15% of the people that come through. And so they filter them out pretty quick.
And it should be pointed out, Bill, that getting in is hard, but that was pre all the tough stuff. So the question, would I have been part of the 15% is a big question. I mean, they invited me out there a few years ago to speak, and I did. I went out to Coronado, and they were my guide out there was a guy named Rourke Denver, and who you may have heard of. But we went out to the obstacle course, and he was like, "You want to run it with me?" And I was just like, "No way!" I'm not sure I would have made it through, Bill. I think I was a little tougher back in those days, at least physically, but I'm not sure I would have made it through. But I did join in part to serve the country, but also in part because my godfather, who I was very close with, was a Navy SEAL. He was on SEAL Team 4, and he fought in Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
He got shot in Vietnam, but he survived, and he was. I was very, very close to him. He was just a wonderful guy, very, very tough. But you wouldn't have known he was ever in the Navy SEALs unless he knew it. So it was. Who knows what would have happened? I probably would have. Maybe I would have made it through and then got hit by a bus or something, or maybe I probably wouldn't have made it through. And
for all the training that you go through, that's what you need to have. For me, when I was in the Marine Corps and we went through, the 12-week training of boot camp there at MCRD in San Diego, not too far away from where the Navy SEALs train there in Coronado, and the attrition rate was pretty brutal for us. I mean, of the original 87 that they picked up on night one, only 23 of us made it through the cycle. And so it was a pretty drastic attrition rate. But to your point, we get down to the last week and in the Marine Corps, because you've got a very tight schedule. There's things that you have to accomplish and getting through the training cycle. So when you eat, they give you just a couple of minutes to eat. And at one lunch, there was some beef that they had given us, some beef chunks or whatever. And when you know it, I end up choking on a piece of beef. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm choking, and one of the drill instructors finally came over, and I guess I turned blue enough for him, says, "Okay, he's ready to be Heimlich." But as I'm sitting here waiting for this to occur, choking, thinking, "Wait a minute, this is the way it's not going to end in Vietnam. I'm not going to Vietnam. I'm going to die here at a mess table on a picking piece of meat." There's just something so unjust about that possibility, So,
that's a good story. I'm glad you made it through.
Me as well. But there's no doubt. I mean, the training, and you watch what the Navy SEALs go to. I mean, this is the best of the best.
The Marines are up there too. I mean, if you read some of the quotes by Navy SEALs about the Marines over the years, there is a ton of respect. I mean, those guys are surgeons, but the Marines are they are really war fighters.
Right.
They are really I would say probably a more important asset than the Navy SEALs to our national security. The Marines are absolutely critical. So
we're crazy, Ben. I mean, we go into war, and we utilize that old four-man offensive team and defensive concept that the Romans had perfected so well. And you give me four Marines and 1,000 enemy, and these guys go, it's still not a fair fight, because they don't have enough guys.
Right.
That's the way.
Exactly.
It's going. This is nuts. But it's quite interesting. But with your book now that you're just releasing, Trap the Devil, give our audience a real quick summary here.
Sure. Trap the Devil comes comes out Tuesday. It's number 7 in the series starring Dewey Andreas, who is a former Ranger and Delta from Castine, Maine. And this story is about an internal threat and an attempted coup from within the government by a very powerful group of men. And so the original idea started, I was reading about the assassination attempt on Ronald Reagan by John Hinckley. And that's really where the idea came from. After that, there was a lot of recrimination and anger within the upper reaches of government about how the president, his personal envelope, was able to be penetrated so easily by this nut job, and how close he came to dying, America's most important asset.
Right.
And the feeling by some, especially William Casey, the head of the CIA, is a very close friend of Reagan's, that the Secret Service was not up to the job and that they were essentially glorified bodyguards, even though there had been individual acts of heroism that day by members of the Secret Service. So that's where the idea for the book came about. And the idea was that the fiction part of it is Casey hatches a plan to secretly embed guys out of CIA paramilitary, out of Navy SEALs, out of Delta, a small elite army, if you will, within the Secret Service, within the even within the White House staff, including the people who make meals. In other words, to add an extra layer of protection around the president so that nothing like this ever happens again. And Alexander Haig supports him. They create a budget. They bury it in state. And they put a guy in charge of it who's at the CIA. And he's really a big character in the book. He's really the villain. He's young at that point. He had been in the CIA. His daughter was killed by a suicide bomber. So he's, a guy who's got some very deep anger issues, rightfully so. You fast forward to today when the book begins, and this man, Bruner, is now much older, but he has carefully been, coming together, bringing allies together in order to strike back at Islam. And what the plan is to do is to take over the U.S. government by killing the Speaker of the House, and then the Vice President, and then the President, and install his own person as President, and then launch a overwhelming nuclear attack on the Middle East and even on parts of Europe, including places that he believes have been taken over by Islam, including Paris, including Brussels, including London. And when the book begins early on, the Speaker of the House is killed.
Ben, we're going to leave everybody on the edge of their seat for just a moment because we have to go to break. More from Ben Kuz as we talk about his book, Trap the Devil, on Bill Martinez Live.
This report is brought to you by Alcon. June is Cataract Awareness Month. Cataracts affect more than 24 million Americans over age 40, but many may not fully understand the emotional side of the condition. A new survey from Alcon of about 1,300 people aged 60 and older who have had cataract surgery found that cataracts can make people feel annoyed, frustrated, or old. Dr. Lawrence Woodard, medical director at Omni Eye Services in Atlanta and a paid Alcon consultant.
Most people get cataracts at some point in life. It's a natural part of aging. Cataracts can take an emotional toll as you lose the ability to see the rich color and detail of life. But there are treatment options available that can correct cataracts and may reduce the need for glasses at the same time. The Alcon survey found that many respondents agreed they felt happier or more satisfied with their lives after cataract surgery. And you can too.
Make your vision a priority this month. Visit mycataracts.com to learn more.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000,
Call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, focusing on the things that matter to you, like the truth and the things that make it for a better way of life. Why not? Those values that have been tried, true, tested, and, you know, give us the results that we're looking for. But, you know, as John Abrams said a while ago, you know, this is what happens when you start to let go of these founding principles. We start to miss out on the benefits of a free republic, and, you know, and you end up being in chaos. And here we are right now, no doubt about it. The political process a bit chaotic right now because we want to disconnect from the truth. But right now we're talking, it's okay to disconnect from the truth once in a while. And this is why we enjoy fiction sometimes, because Ben goes, you know, we need to decompress. We need some amusement, some distraction from the real world, right?
Exactly. And I think most of my friends and family would say I'm fairly disconnected from the truth. So,
well, only for entertainment's sake. That's okay. Right. But at some point, we've got to reconcile the truth if we're going to, you know, get this country back on track. And I say ultimately to be successful and fulfilled. And, you know, the fact of the matter is you are a writer and you're excellent at what you do. That's the truth. Huh? So, you know, here it is. So let's pick up where we left off regarding Trap the Devil, a novel, that your new novel that you just released that comes out next week, right?
Right. It comes out Tuesday, Trap the Devil, Ben Coes, C-O-E-S. And it is a book about an attempted coup from senior-level people who are high in the administration of the current president in the book. And it is a group that early in the book, the Speaker of the House is murdered off the coast of Georgia. Their own candidate is successfully elected the new speaker, and now all they have to do is kill the vice president and the president. And when they do that, they intend to launch a massive nuclear strike on the Middle East and on parts of Europe to essentially do what they view as a final solution and eradicate Islam once and for
Now, is this kind of a rise of the deep state?
Correct.
So to speak? Yes. Okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. And, you know, I think it is, I mean, it's getting, you know, great reviews. I think with all my books, I try to make them as authentic as possible. And I do try to write about threats. And in this case, I think it is, it's a poignant topic because the subject of, obviously, of Islam and radical Islam and what to do with it is that really the top of everybody's minds, not
exactly.
just in government, but everywhere. And so their solution is one that is, you know, very radical, very out there. There are going to be some readers who say, geez, we should do that. I don't think that's the way to go, but it is, I think, a poignant, in some ways realistic reflection of how some people feel. You know, how do we get rid of this threat? And in the case of the villain Charles Bruner, his way is complete and overwhelming for the, and you know, he knows that he will be considered the worst criminal in the history of mankind, but he believes he's saving the world by doing it. So I think it is a poignant book and hits right in the crosshairs of issues that everybody in the world, really, and especially everybody in America, is thinking about right now.
Well, the current temperament, politically, culturally, very spirited, to say the least, that really kind of sets the stage, that makes this scenario seem not so far-fetched.
Right, exactly. And there's, you know, it's true, and you've got a situation, I think, especially when it comes to radical Islam, where it's like a cancer, but it's starting to metastasize, and it's, as some cancers do, as you know, you might have cancer in one part of the body, and all of a sudden they find a small tumor in another part, and they can't explain how it got there, and that is the, I think, really scary part of what is going on. And what I mean by that is, you know, 9/11 was a network that was organized and funded and an extension of a central platform of Al-Qaeda. And you still obviously have that kind of terrorism. But when I say metastasizing like that cancer, you now have situations that don't even involve social media where self-appointed jihadists are walking into a military base, or, you know, like in Boston, my hometown up in Boston, at the at the marathon, they go and try to blow up and a bunch of people, and that is the scary part, because everyone, if you have cancer and it starts to metastasize that way, where you're finding tumors where they never would have anticipated it, that it's not long before the whole body dies, and we have to make sure that we get rid of those tumors now, and we figure out how to stop this thing from metastasizing.
Well, and the challenge that we have in this culture that is so accepting and relatively adjusted, you know, it's all a matter of relevance as opposed to empirical fact. You know, somehow, you know, people in our culture feel like, you know, we can cohabitate with cancer. And this is basically what we have done, instead of going back and meeting the enemy full force, as aggressive as it is, we're not being as aggressive as we should be, don't you think?
100%. I completely agree. And I think that, I really think only when we approach it, not just with words, but when we approach it in the way we approach Nazism, are we gonna stop it? And what I mean by that is there needs to be a multilateral, cohesive approach, and that approach cannot, you know, contemplate the continued existence of it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean, you know, we didn't want all Germans dead, but we wanted all Nazis dead.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted Nazism gone, and that has to occur. And I think part of what did occur there, too, I was thinking the other day, Trump started this with his speech he made in Saudi Arabia, but the Muslims themselves have to be the ones to start standing up. And up until the point, you know, if you go to Germany now, the Germans owned what Germany created.
Yeah.
You know, Nazism came out of Germany. It doesn't mean that all Germans are bad. They're one of our staunchest allies. But it came out of Germany, and they owned it, and they accepted accountability for that. And I think until that happens by Muslims, regardless of what sect you are in, are we going to be able to truly stop it? And that does not mean, by the way, asking people to not be able to celebrate their religion and stuff like that. But there needs to be not just a condemnation, but a stench and a permanent pockmark on anyone who tolerates or accepts any form of what is really Nazism, this radical jihad that says anybody who's not doesn't agree with me, they're going to die. And and I think, I don't know how to achieve that, but I think that's going to be the key.
That's an inside out kind of deal, just like what happened in Germany. Because when you think about, the fascists, the Nazis, that controlled Germany, it was only about roughly 10% of the population.
Right.
So 90% of the people bared the brunt, similar to what's happening with ISIS and these Muslim countries. But I think there's also an opportunity for the people of faith, and their Muslim faith to protect it. If in fact what they're saying is consistent and true, that their religion is being hijacked by these radicals, and then they need to reconcile their belief system in such a way that has people feeling a little bit more comfortable. Because, as you know, when somebody comes into your land, the first question generally is asked, are you friend or foe? I mean, right now in America, we can't seem to ask that question because we're going to offend somebody, which is just ridiculous.
Right.
But that's still the number one question, right? I mean, if somebody comes knocking at your door, you want to have this sense of comfort that if you let them inside the house, they're not going to start, tying up everybody and shooting everyone and taking their heads off. But for some reason right now in this culture that we live in, we think we can accommodate that. But this is a call for people in this month of Ramadan for them to really consider, okay, what is the future of the Muslim religion, or is it going to be put back into the old ages once again in the box because they just do not play nice with others?
I think that's right. I mean, I think you're exactly right. It is a time of complete political correctness, and beyond that, I think it's a time where, Washington is just worse than it's ever been. I mean, it doesn't matter what party you're in. It doesn't, just as an observer, it's just polluted, and everyone is just standing up to run for re-election, and it's so organized, and it's so far distance and divorced from what the original founding part of the principle of the country, the idea of a citizen legislature.
Exactly.
It's just gone, and so I think that that's a big part of the problem, too. It adds to the mess.
Without a doubt. Well, we've got to wrap it up and leave it there. Ben Coase, thank you so much for being with us. Congratulations on the book, which will be released next week, Trap the Devil. Sometimes the greatest threat to national security comes from within. And you might agree that America is ripe for the taking. We are very vulnerable. Ben, the book will be available at all the usual places, correct?
Correct.
All righty. And it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hi, John here again. After another month of being on several supplements from Synergistic Nutrition, including Synergy One, the Andreas Black Cumin Seed Oil, and other supplements, I've lost another 10 pounds for a total of 20 pounds. My belt size has been reduced by 1¾ inches. My knees don't ache as much anymore, and I'm walking my dogs twice as long as I did a month ago. I sleep very well and have a lot more energy. I noticed that when I cut myself accidentally, that I was bleeding much more profusely and that the blood was bright red. previously, I didn't believe much of alcohol. It was dark red in color. So I know this protocol is working to keep my blood healthy. Additionally, I now have the energy to do calisthenics several times a week, in addition to the extra walking. My hunger has been reduced a lot. I take 2 shakes a day, along with each meal.
Call Synergistic Nutrition at 888-988-3325 or visit sacredseedoils.com. That's sacredseedoils.com.
Do you know what's